Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette with us later this hour at 7:30. They take on the Vancouver Canucks tonight, so we will catch up with him here in about 30 minutes. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock, and we will get into the Titans and NFL headlines with him. So looking forward to all that. Joe, speaking of the Titans, some injury news yesterday that Mike McCoy updated. Mike McCoy says L'Jarius Sneed, quote, will miss some time moving forward with the quad injury that he sustained in Sunday's game against the Patriots. Jeffrey Simmons week to week dealing with the hamstring injury. So you're talking about Sneed missing some time, which, I mean, sounds like that could be a long-term thing. Kind of figured that at the time when he was walking off the field with the quad injury. We'll see how that shakes out. Jeffrey Simmons, a hamstring injury, did not practice yesterday and has been labeled week to week. By the way, Calvin Ridley also dealing with a hamstring. He did not practice yesterday either. So we'll see how that goes throughout the rest of this week and whether or not he's able to get out there. Arden Key dealing with a quad injury as well. He did not practice. So the Titans are down bad when it comes to injuries right now, Joe. Especially, you know, it's not like they've got some crazy number of guys that are hurt, but the guys who are hurt are some of their key players on a team that doesn't have very many key players. And that is not shaping up well against the Indianapolis Colts, who, as we mentioned earlier in the show, are a 14.5 point favorite against the Titans. So, Joe, when you look at this with L'Jarius Sneed out for what appears to be a lengthy period of time. Now, some Titans fans have said, well, maybe that's a good thing if he's out for a lengthy period of time. But he's out. Simmons is week to week. And Calvin Ridley didn't practice yesterday. That's not good for the Titans. And let's say all three of those guys can't play. Let's say, we know at this point Simmons and Sneed probably aren't playing. Let's say Ridley can't go this week. What are we going to be looking at on Sunday with this Titans team with those three guys out?
Restrepo dominating. That's my guess.
There was some practice video of him yesterday that Kuharski put out there. It looked pretty good.
Watch out, baby. No, it's bad. The thing about Sneed is, the Sneed thing, it's just been terrible. But like for the mistakes and all that stuff, still, if you're the Titans, if you're Denard Wilson, if you're anybody over there, you'd much rather have him available and on the field. There's a lot. There's still a lot of plays that weren't made that will be much easier to make because you have the guys behind him on the field, right? Like it's just, yeah, you're looking pretty rough at corner. And again, not saying he was good or anything like that, but like he's still a talented, effective player who, like, for a lot of a game can cover someone, can eliminate things, and that's out of there. And Simmons is playing the best football. I don't know if he's playing the best football of his career. I don't know about that.
He might be.
Like, there's some talk about, around the league, like, is he the best D tackle in the league right now? He's certainly up there. And yeah, like maybe this is just as simple as just slim down and get that quickness, and doesn't seem to have lost any power. And so you take that out of there. And again, it's like, there's so, you have to double him. And even though he complained about it too much, I mean, you had to even before, the last couple of years when he wasn't at his best, you still had to double him. Now it's like, you have to devote a lot of attention to him. And so you take that out of the mix. And how much more pedestrian does everybody else look because he's not on the field? We'll find out Sunday.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. And it's just that I think the Colts are going to run it well, and they're going to throw it well, and it's going to be ugly. So the Titans, you look at where this could go. It's not like even if they were on the field, I'd be picking them to win too many of these games. But find the wins, on this schedule. Even like some of the stuff we thought going into the year at the late season that might be a little bit of a break doesn't look as much of a break now either.
Well, and, you factor in the Titans have been a bad rush defense, even with Jeffrey Simmons. Like, it's not been good. So now you take him out of there, and you're taking on the Colts, who are currently averaging 130 yards a game on the ground. And not just that, like, if you've watched them this year, Jonathan Taylor's also been a pretty big factor in the passing game, too. Like, it's just it's not a good matchup for the Titans heading into this one. And, you know, it's crazy because you look at this, and I think, you know, I know I've been looking for it. I think a lot of people around the league have been looking for it, too. It's like, okay, this has been a great story with Daniel Jones and the Colts. But when's it coming to an end? You know, it kind of feels like Darnold, right? Like Darnold last year, it was like, oh, that's a great story. He looks really good. When is he going to turn back into a pumpkin? And then ultimately he did in the last two games, you know, the last game of the regular season and in the playoff. Now, I would also say, you know, Darnold looked pretty good so far this year. So, you know.
He's good.
Yeah, like he's a pretty good player.
It may not be great, but he's good.
And look, if Daniel Jones keeps playing this way, then the Colts have found their long-term answer at quarterback. Like, that's what it's going to be as they move forward here. So we'll see what that looks like. But it, to your point earlier, it's not just Jones. Like, they look like a pretty cohesive unit. I mean, look, they should be undefeated. You know, they literally handed the game that they lost to the Rams. Like, I mean, A.D. Mitchell dropping the ball. So, like, they should be undefeated heading into this game. It's remarkable how good they are and what they've done to this point. Like, Shane Steichen, I think, got to be coach of the year right now, right? Like, it's runaway.
Yeah, no, I would think so.
Him and Vrabel. Let's get it.
And the Vrabster.
Ooh, yeah, maybe Vrabes can get in there. But, yeah, I think right now Steichen would be, like, relative. Like, there were some people who thought the Patriots might be good. No one thought the Colts would.
Yeah.
People laughed at the Daniel Jones thing. We laughed at the Daniel Jones thing. I'm done laughing at retread quarterbacks. Wherever they go, whoever it is, wherever they go, I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to assume that's going to work out well. Not that they all do, but this is like, it's pretty remarkable. And yeah, like you said, they should have two wins in Los Angeles. Both those games were in LA, which is kind of wild, isn't it? Like, in the first few weeks of your season, you have two trips to LA.
Yeah.
And you should have won both. And like, I think they're going to run away with the division. The Jaguars kind of, speaking of turning into a pumpkin, I think the Jaguars did that a little bit over in Europe against the Rams. You know, I think they're going to fade. They're stupid, not playing Travis Hunter where he should be playing, which is on defense, and their defense sucks. Good idea, guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. The Texans are just, I don't think they're going to be able to mount any sort of a challenge here. It's pretty wild. So good for, I mean, we have more Colts fans who listen to us than I think any other AFC South team. So I hope you guys are like Ben from Cumberland City and Indy Ben and all you guys. I hope you're enjoying Jordan the Franklin. Hell out of this. Jordan and Fran, and boy, it's almost like I hope you can get some enjoyment out of blowing out the Titans, but it's almost such an obvious, you know, thing that, you know, it's like, you just, what's the next game?
Why is this game at 325? Well, why is Titans Colts at 325 on Sunday?
Great question.
We just wait a little bit longer to watch this thing?
They just randomly put games, you know, that are in the eastern, you know, this side of the country here and there on at that time. But usually it's like a game that looks really attractive going into the year, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right? And
it's good Titans Colts in the late window.
I don't know why this would have looked attractive. I mean, I thought both would stink. That's a great question.
I mean, second half of this game has the opportunity to be completely tuned out.
Oh yeah.
Once you get a little bit later in the afternoon, starts to get dark closer to dinner, they're getting blown out. Like, ratings could be rough on this one.
Yeah. Like, it just, I saw the time last week. I was like, wait a minute, the Titans, the Colts play at 3:25? Why? What's going on out there? Put them on Monday Night Football. That's what they should have done. Country watch.
Let's have it like, how about like a Wednesday at noon game would be maybe something like that. Try to hide this game. Yeah, does this mean that they get a prominent announcing crew for this game? Do we know who the announcing crew is?
I don't know.
I know it's Charles Davis and McCourty.
Okay.
Is it Catalan?
No. I
think it's Andrew Catalan with those guys.
Okay.
So it's like a home game for Charles Davis and J-Mac.
Sure.
Tip of the cap to those guys for having to watch as much Titans football.
That's
close,
2 weeks
my
in a
goodness.
Row. Yeah.
Oh, you poor guys. At least they'll get to see a good team playing too, at least.
Ben from Cumberland City has texted and says, thoroughly enjoying it. Like you, I was apprehensive, but now it feels like the Manning years. Thanks, Joe. Colts fans feeling good.
Right, calm down on the Manning years. Calm down.
Hey, they look pretty good. Manning? Look pretty good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Titans, Colts, plus some Titans coaching stuff that I want to get into, including something I thought about yesterday that maybe makes me open my mind a little bit more to a combination that I know Rex Road likes. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, it's the time of year where trade deadline rumors start to swirl. I'm not talking about specific rumors, but do you address that with the team? Do you talk to players about that sort of stuff coming out, or do you kind of just trust them to handle their business and know not to worry?
Well, I mean, we have open communications with players about everything. You know, I want to over communicate with the players, but our number one focus right now is this weekend. Everything else will take care of itself down the road. But it's just our focus right now is going to Indy and finding a way to win the game. And, you know, players, I've got open door policy. Players and I talk about a lot of things. They're always welcome to come in and talk about things. And I think that's the way it needs to be. You have to have open communication and be upfront with players. And like you guys asked about hard coaching the other day, it's just you be brutally honest with players. And but where we are, our number one focus right now, we're not worrying about down the road. It's about this week. That's the number one thing.
That's Mike McCoy, interim head coach for the Titans. Joe, they're worried about this week. Ain't worried about anything else. Worried about trying to go up to Indianapolis to get a win. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's how you've got to approach it. And I bid them good luck.
Joe, there's an I've been thinking about potential future Titans head coaches. We've thrown out some names, obviously, and we're gonna have a lot of time over the next few weeks and months to discuss this. But, you know, I said yesterday, you know, Mike McCarthy at the moment, probably number one on my list. We'll see how the rest of the search will shake out. We'll see maybe who becomes available at the end of the year that could be somebody the Titans could target, all those things. A lot of information could still change when it comes to the Titans coaching search. I did think about this yesterday after the show. You know, you've mentioned the Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel combination, which I believe Herndon was the first one I saw that came up with this. You know, there's an added element to this that could make this really spicy. Robert Saleh and Liam Cohen hate each other, apparently. You know, they almost fought each other coming off the field a few weeks ago. You imagine if Cohen, you know, pretty successful in Jacksonville, sticks around for a while, and Saleh becomes the next head coach of the Titans. I mean, there's some real potential for spice there between Duvall and the Titans once again.
Oh no, it's very good. Now, obviously, that means that Liam Cohen needs to like hang around, you know, and I mean, so far it's off to a pretty good start for him. But yeah, though you got real potential there. I always have meant to go back and figure this out. But can you tell me again what exactly did Saleh say that got him so ticked off at the beginning?
I don't know. I know Liam Cohen, you know, was running off the field and basically told him to keep his name out of your mouth. And then I think some footage came out this last week where, like, there was an actual microphone that caught Saleh, and he was basically like, I'll kill you.
he's like, I'll end your life.
Yeah, he's like,
I will destroy your every cell in your body. It's like, whoa.
It was about Saleh accusing them of stealing signs.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Stealing signs.
Yeah, which, again, like, is that a big deal?
Apparently, you can legally do it, right?
Yeah, so. Like everybody. That's why everybody does. Again, I mean, I know in the NFL, there's a lot of you know, the stuff that just goes through the headset anyway. But yeah, like that's what everybody's trying to do. If you didn't think people were trying to steal signs, why do you have four people doing signs?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Only one of them's real.
Well, and you know, like, I'm just trying to reignite a, you know, Titans-Jags rivalry that needs a little juice to it right now. Just get Saleh in here, and he and Cohen apparently are ready to fist fight each other. That'd be awesome.
I mean, do you understand, too, that, like, Saleh would be right there with, like, whoever, Dan Campbell, Vrabel, whoever you want to talk about.
He's on the list. Like,
and then would Liam Cohen be, like, 32nd?
LaFleur.
Like, okay. That would be a good fight. Liam Cohen and LaFleur. Liam Cohen against Robert Saleh, like, he actually would end his life in like 9 seconds.
He would. He's a big dude.
if this happens, I think Liam Cohen needs to like have a presser, be like, "Hey, I really welcome Coach Sala. Just really,
yeah,
really respect him a lot." And yeah, no, let's say, hey, we could use. Well, look, we could use anything where like the Tennessee Titans are. Anyone has any reaction other than laughing at them, but yeah, that would be fun. That'd be a nice added little bonus.
I mean, in all seriousness, on the Sala front, I guess I'm not totally opposed to it. You know, I'd have to really do some digging on the Jets front. I realize it's the Jets. I do. So, you know, at this point at the Jets, I guess everything that goes on there, you just have to really take with a grain of salt, because when people leave there, it's like they experience, it's like getting out of prison. Like, you just experience freedom. And you're like, wow, this is what freedom feels like, huh? Awesome. Like, that's what it's like leaving the Jets. And it's, no matter, coaches, players, quarterbacks, whatever. Like, you know, Rodgers looks like a completely different person in Pittsburgh than he did with the Jets. I mean, Geno Smith, he left the Jets. Sam Darnold left the Jets. Like, you can go down up and down the list of people who have left the Jets, and it's worked out well elsewhere. And Sala, clearly, in San Francisco, knows what he's doing on the defensive side of things. And I've talked about this. I don't think, like, you don't have to go out there if you're the Titans and hire some offensive guy. Just go hire the best head coach for you. If that's Sala, great. Knock yourself out. I like the Sala-McDaniel connection there. We'll see if that's the way it ends up going. But I am, like, how good of a head coach is he? That's what you really have to do some digging and get to the bottom of. Because we've also talked about this, Joe. Like, some people are just really good assistant coaches, like really good coordinators. And there's nothing wrong with that, but trying to make those guys head coaches can be problematic.
Yeah, I think the thing with Sala is just, it seems like, and I don't know, I guess this really is like how you look at offensive guys and defensive guys, but he just seems like a great motivator. And he like this year, I mean, like, they've had ridiculous injuries, and he seems to get, I know that when he was there before, obviously, I mean, they had a loaded defense. You know, I think the Niners, not too long ago, had the best roster in the NFL. But he seems to connect with players. He seems to get the most out of his guys. He seems to be that culture coach, you know? Like you said, it's like, I mean, look, stuff happens with the Jets. I mean, some of the stuff with the Jets, like, some of his, like, I don't know, trying, like, we're going to find out who's talking to the media, and some of the stuff that he did was like, dude, yeah, you're wasting your time with stupid crap. But you also should learn from that. And, yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. It's like a Jets tax, you know, that you just or whatever. It just, you know, that's an asterisk. Now, unfortunately, we're getting to the point where that's also what becomes a Titans thing, too, you know. That'll be interesting, like Brian Callahan.
Like, as far as I know, at least the Titans haven't made any roster decision based off the game of Madden, as far as I know. So I think they're still probably in better shape than the Jets on that front.
I mean, I'd be all for Amy Adams Funk just having a presser and be like, our quarterback, I'm not very happy with him. I mean, you know, at least Woody says some stuff.
He's got a 72 rating on Madden. We gotta get that up. That's gotta get better.
But yeah, I think he's going to get another shot, and it is. I think if it was somewhere else, you know, then maybe people would be a little bit more hesitant. But he's come right back there, and it's like, man, yeah, he just seems like a head coach. So I don't know. I would not put that as my first choice like Kaharski has, but it is intriguing to think about him. And again, Mike McDaniel is going to be, I think he will get an OC job somewhere, and that's where he'll stay. I'm very interested to see just what is Brian Callahan going to get? What's his next job?
Quarterback coach somewhere.
Quarterback coach, probably.
Yeah, some offensive assistant, right? Passing game coordinator, something like that.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah. Not an OC job. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, his only play calling was here, and it was bad, and it was bad for a variety of reasons, but it was bad.
Maybe he could be the OC back at Cincinnati.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I guess that's, if they're,
see if Flacco saves their job.
Yeah, he might, because it was looking a little rough for Zach there. But actually, yeah, that's an interesting thought. I don't even know who their OC is. Who replaced him? I don't even know.
I have no idea. No clue. But you're going to fire that? Hey, we're bringing, like, is Brian Callahan type guy? It's like, you fire your current OC to bring back? It's like, yeah, we got Brian back. Let's go do that.
That was Dan Pitcher. He was promoted from the quarterback's coach. That's right. I remember that name.
Sorry, man. Got to get Brian back in here.
I mean, I could see him back there, but yeah, like he'd probably be.
Maybe he'd swap. He'd go back to the quarterback's coach under Dan Pitcher.
Yeah, he'd be underneath him. But, you know, there should be some Titans asterisk, I think, right? But it's not quite the Jets level yet.
We'll see. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds back in action tonight, game two of the five-game homestand, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
Well, let me start here. Your beloved Blue Jays in the World Series, taking on the Dodgers. Obviously, tough task coming up for them. We all know how good the Dodgers are, but how are we feeling about the Jays heading into all this?
Well, outstanding. I mean, we shouldn't be here. We're there. It was a great year. You know, you kind of try to take a little bit of what the Blue Jays did this year to our team. And, you know, they hung in there all year. They showed great grit and resilience. If anybody watched Game 7. But I watched them all season, and they brought that every night. And it was kind of a special year for them. And they're playing an unbelievable Dodger team. And I expect them to hang in there.
So, Andrew, you know, on the hockey front, you guys obviously dropped four in a row here, one of them being in overtime here. And I know the other night you were not happy with just the way the game went defensively, all those things. So, you know, in trying to rebound tonight against Vancouver, what are you looking for from your team? And what do you think it's going to take to get things going a little bit offensively here?
Well, I think we need a little bit of reset. I think the last two games wasn't what we showed the first, you know, five games, especially last game. It wasn't our commitment to the puck wasn't at a high enough level to win in this hockey league. And, you know, we didn't clean the front of the net up for Juice and give him a chance to be our best player, which he's most nights our best player. And it was one of those games that, you know, wasn't our best. So we got a chance to reset. I think there was good things in all their games up to the Anaheim game. And we just got to get back to doing that. I think, you know, we talk at nauseam about last season. This isn't last season. This is a new team. This is new players. This is a new time. And I really liked their first, you know, six games. I didn't like our last game. So that happens in hockey, especially the schedule that we have where we're playing every second night. And we just need to reset and get back to who we are and what we're trying to build here. And that wasn't a great example the other night.
Well, Andrew, with Saros, obviously part of his career has been some great years, but slow starts have kind of been a consistent thing. Why has he been able to come right out like this and play at such a high level?
Well, I think he's, you know, last season, we did not help him. I think we've helped him through this whole stretch, besides last game and a little bit, maybe parts of the Winnipeg game. And we gave him an opportunity to be our best player. He was probably our best player last year at different times. We just didn't help him. So I think we've made a few adjustments to try to help him be our best player, and we need him every night. And, you know, we weren't sharp in front of him, and that's why you get those two results we had the last two games.
Andrew, I'm interested, like, looking at the big picture this year from a scheduling standpoint. I mean, you guys are going to Sweden, and we talked about this a little bit the other night, but you've also got the Olympic break coming up in February, which means the games are just extremely condensed. I mean, this week is a good example of that, with five games in a very quick amount of time at home. So as a staff, like, how do you guys handle that? I mean, the schedule is what it is, so there's nothing you can do about it, but how do you handle that in terms of trying to balance, you know, the games that you're going to be playing in quick succession and also trying to make sure you're getting enough work practicing?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, coaches always want a little more time to practice. And players need more time to rest. So we've had a game plan from probably this summer that we talked about how we're going to do some things. Obviously, there's ebbs and flows, and there's momentum and all those different things you got to think about practicing. But rest is going to be a weapon this year a little bit. There's so many games. Like, I think we're every second night, and you throw in, I think, two or three back-to-backs before we go to Sweden. We have Sweden. So we have some thoughts We have communication every day. We got David Good, who's our strength guy, who's maybe one of the best in the business, and we talk all the time. And we got to make sure we're rested and we're ready to go. But yeah, no, we've had a game plan. It is a bizarre year for us because of those two things, the Olympics in Sweden. So our schedule is even more condensed than most teams in the league. So we have to make sure that our guys have optimal recovery time and rest to keep our energy, because it's night in, night out, as you guys were just talking about.
So you took advantage of the opportunity to get a look at Brady Martin. Now he's, you know, back in juniors. What did you see? What did you learn about him early this season, Andrew?
I think the thing that stood out is how competitive he is. And I think every task or every step that we've you know, gave him an opportunity to take, he took it, which is pretty impressive for an 18-year-old kid. I mean, right from, you know, rookie tournament, you could say he's one of our best players. Through camp, he's one of our best players. And he made the team. And that's really hard to do for an 18-year-old. I don't know if I've been around. Geez, I don't even know if there's one maybe in my career that I was able to play with that was able to take that step. And to be in here and he, you know, he didn't play poorly whatsoever. I just think for his development and for our plan for where he's going to be for the years to come, he needed to go play minutes and be the best player every night. And this league's hard. And you talk about the condensed schedule, you talk about where we're at. I think he needed to go play. And he's going to go play a lot of minutes, going to have a lot of puck, but he's a highly, highly competitive kid. And that's what probably impressed me the most.
So, Andrew, on the power play, you know, obviously, you know, the expectation is for that to improve as the season goes on here. Stamkos was talking the other day about maybe slowing things down a little bit and trying to eliminate the one-and-dones that have been out there. What are you seeing on the power play, and what do you think is the step you've got to take on the power play to start getting some results there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think maybe a little bit one and done, but I think our pace has to improve. I don't know what the slowing down thing is. I think probably, you know, we can't. He's absolutely right that when you press and when things are going your own way, you start trying to make something out of nothing, and that's the, you know, what happens in power plays are not feeling any rhythm or flow, and we're not feeling a lot of flow. I thought we started off good, and then you go a couple of games without scoring, and then you know you start, you know, trying too hard or doing too many things out of the ordinary. So I think for us, we just got to go back to basics. I mean, we have some really talented players that will make plays, but when you force things, you try too hard on a power play, it snowballs and it goes downhill really quick. So we just got to reset, probably a little bit like our mindset for our whole game, just reset after last game. We did some, you know, pretty good things, you know, early in the season. The last few games, you know, it hasn't worked out. So we just need to clean that up a little bit. That power play needs to get better. We all know that. It hasn't been good in the last four games, I would say. So we need to be better, because I think when your top players feel better on the power play, it leaks in their 5-on-5 game, and you get a little bit of flow and a little bit of rhythm, and they'll play better if they feel better.
You mentioned being better in front of Saros. How much better do you feel like this decor is/can be? I know with Hague, get him going too. How different and better do you think that it can end up this year?
Well, I think we get, you know, we're looking forward to get Hager back. Obviously, he's a big piece of, you know, what we did this summer with his size and his presence. I think our defensemen have been really good. Last game was a little bit of a hiccup for us. I didn't think we were very good at all back there. But the whole, you know, the other games before that has been outstanding, in my opinion. It's kind of been the engine that runs our team. We're very mobile. When we're on our game, we break out. We play fast. Didn't happen last game. And then we clean the front of Juice's porch and sweep it. We didn't sweep it last game. So I think there's a lot of potential. You know, we got a lot of young kids back there, and people got to remember that. There's not a lot of guys that have been here a long time, and there are going to be games like last game, but you know, for the whole season, they've been really good, and I'm looking forward to see them develop and get better. And then, you know, Nick's going to help us back there. I mean, he's a, you know, 6'6" body that cleans and a very stable player. So we're looking forward to getting him back. But on the other side, those guys have all played great back there.
Well, Andrew, another one tonight against Vancouver. Looking forward to the game. Looking forward to seeing you later this morning. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the Vancouver Canucks tonight. Game number two of a five-game homestand. You got Vancouver tonight, who is 4-3. Looks like they're going to get Brock Besser back in the lineup tonight. L.A. on Saturday, Dallas on Sunday, Tampa on Tuesday is the five-game homestand. So, Joe, that is pretty good teams walking there. And I know, you know, L.A. and Tampa haven't exactly lit the world on fire so far, but like, you know, the talent that those teams possess.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I mean, it's a huge, you know, obviously you wanted to, I mean, look, Anaheim's better too, by the way, but wanted to have a better start, but it's really important. And I just feel like, you know, getting back to like just having more of a home ice advantage and stacking some wins at home. I feel like last year, some of the, you know, home losses early were tough and the way that season went. So very important here, these next few games at home.
If you're looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, come by Twin Peaks in Madison, home of the 29 Degree Beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Colts. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Old National Bank. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I'm tired of you guys asking me this. Like, this is ridiculous.
I'm finally unmuted. I swear I kept clicking the button.
I mean, Joe's a real drug guy.
PK is uninformed on something else.
Doesn't affect us. I don't even think they want to talk to us.
This dude is an idiot.
It's weird. You know, Ackerman had me running around with greased pigs.
Take off your robe.
Losing's really not in my vocabulary.
This is all bullcrap, is what this is. It is that time of the day. The Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. All right, Joe, a couple of different ways I could go today, but with some news this morning, my rant today is simply this. What in the world's going on out there? The latest news from Shams Charania of ESPN. Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier was arrested early Thursday morning as a part of an FBI sports betting gambling probe, sources tell ESPN. The Eastern District of New York and FBI Director Kash Patel will hold a press conference at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to announce arrests from the investigation. Oh, by the way, Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups has been arrested by the FBI for alleged illegal gambling as well. So Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups arrested by the FBI this morning for alleged illegal gambling. What the heck's going on out there?
That's insanity. You know, I have to believe, Robbie, like that at some point we're going to get to the point where people realize, I probably shouldn't mess with this because, it's actually very easy to track now and be caught getting involved in gambling crap.
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, we've had a lot of, like, college kids, college players, you know, like players at small programs who have been found out, who have been nailed for this. And again, hopefully it's like these are cautionary tales. Everybody maybe kind of figure it out. When you're, again, I don't know what happened here exactly, so we'll wait for the facts of it to come out and see what went on. But when you get to the point of an arrest, it's like, I gotta just ask, like, do you not have enough money if you're Chauncey Billups, if you're Terry Rozier? Like, why would you ever? And again, we'll see. Maybe this is a completely, maybe they're completely innocent and this is a mistake. But it boggles my mind that someone prominent in the sports world who's had like success and has a career that pays what that does, you would ever even think to ever like look at a gambling app in your life.
And Chauncey Billups is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, that's insanity, man. Again, it's like, I know some people look at these things and it's like, oh man, it's gotten so much worse. And, you know, it is like gambling is so accessible for everybody now, right?
Yeah.
But as far as like I think what this is telling us is that, yeah, in this new world, like, there is oversight now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that might have gone on, you know, sort of unbeknownst to anyone, that it's not gonna happen anymore. You know, when will people figure that out?
Well, by the way, it was a few months ago, and this is, you know, a different thing, but it was a few months ago when Gilbert Arenas got arrested and indicted after he was operating allegedly illegal high stakes poker games out of there. Like, it's just, I mean, there's the NBA right now has got a gambling issue, clearly, right? Like, I mean, this is a problem. And I know, look, Arenas has been out of the league for a long time, but you're talking about, you know, pretty good player in Terry Rozier and now a head coach in Chauncey Billup getting popped for gambling in the NBA. That's not good. So how deep does this thing go?
Yeah, so, like, are we talking, I don't know, I have not like, with Bills, are we talking, like, point shaving in terms of, like,
I don't know.
I mean, the thing about basketball is if you think about the other sports, you know, like, yeah, football, I mean, if you're like a quarterback or something, then you can obviously have a lot of impact on some things, but it's kind of hard, right? Like, if you're an official, one holding call or one not called holding call can make a huge difference, but it's hard, I think, for a player. You think about, obviously, there's been scandals in all the sports, you know, the Black Sox scandal and stuff like that. But I feel like in basketball, like on the court, you know, point shaving, I think, is probably easier to pull off than in other sports.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, if you're out there as a heavy minutes player, you can probably you can have a fair amount of control to, and just, like, whatever, throwing the ball out of bounds. You know, I mean, you can do things like that, where in its other sports, I think it's harder to control it. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But again, like Chauncey Billups being involved, like, how in that? That is just, I mean, I hope it's not true. Yeah, you know, but if it is, like, what in the world could ever compel you to think about this?
I mean, look, you know, I'm not a legal expert, obviously. I would assume if it's gotten to the point with arrest with both these guys, that there's probably some evidence that they got when it comes to all this. Like it's like, you know, so it's wild to me that this would happen. Like, this has got to be, like, the worst nightmare for a sports league right now. Like, looking at all, you know, they're gladly accepting money from all these gambling companies, right? But deep down, yeah, they've got to just be, like, scared to death, whether you're Goodell or Gary Bettman, whoever, Adam Silver, that this is a problem in your sport, and for the NBA to be popped like this, as well. Like, again, like, are those the only two? Is it Rozier and Billups? Like, does this go deeper than that? How deep does this go in the NBA?
It's a great question, and you know, Adam Silver already not necessarily the most impressive. It's been a tough go following up David Stern here, and boy, talk about an absolute mess on his hands. And meanwhile, in college sports, you know, you're opening up so that college athletes can bet on pro sports. I don't know why you'd even go there. Now the lower levels just did the same thing. I don't know. I just don't. I guess basically it's just so hard to enforce. But, like, I don't understand why that's something that needed to be done. I think, you know, in any of these leagues, I think the best – look, you have these relationships. It's a total conflict of interest. That's what it is what it is. Like, there's no question. But you're not going back. Like, the Pandora's box has been opened. But I think you have to enforce, like, you cannot – if you're involved in this league at all, you cannot do any gambling stuff at all, period. Like, right? Like, you have to have that.
I mean, Ian asked me before the show how good the Heat were going to be this year, and I was like, well, I don't know. Now they've lost their guard. He's been arrested by the FBI this morning, so that's a tough blow to the season.
You'd bet on them being worse now.
I would. I will make that bet that they will be worse without Terry Rozier in there. Oh, man, what a story in the NBA. We'll keep you updated on the latest on that front, but Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups have been arrested for alleged illegal gambling, so we'll see what more information comes on that as the day goes along here. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.